Let's pray. Dear God, we come before you again this morning hour, and we want to say thank you for your amazing love to us, your children, this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you care about each one of us and that you have a deep desire, a deep love for us, and that so much so that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die, to set us free, to give us eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus this morning. Father, I just pray you be with me as I share your word this morning, that you anoint me with your Holy Spirit. I pray you keep us from the evil one this morning and just guide and direct us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. I felt led to preach part two of the message I preached 2 months ago. 2 months ago, I preached a message titled Destroying Satan, Part One. And to those who want to hear, I talked about how Satan is out to kill and to destroy each one of us. And that we need to be on guard, that we need to be mindful, constantly reminded, constantly on guard and on watch for the devices of Satan, and to keep this in our mind that Satan desires that each one of us would be lost and damned and go to hell, and he's out to kill and destroy each one of us. I drew a picture, but I'm going to draw the opposite this morning. Last time, I had what I'm going to put in here, I had over here. But this time, I'm going to put Satan in this box, and you and I in this box. Last time, I looked at how Satan has you and I in his crosshairs and wants out to destroy us. This time I want you to look at how Satan is in the crosshairs and how God has given us the power over Satan and his devices. So the title of my message this morning is Destroying Satan, Part 2. As I shared last time, I knew that the message was very unbalanced last time, and I was planning to preach this message this morning. This morning, I plan to preach about the conquering power of God over Satan and ways we can avail ourselves of that power and overcome the temptations and snares of Satan. I plan to look at verses that say that Jesus came to destroy the power of Satan. Satan will be defeated in the end. And we are promised victory through Jesus. And then I plan to end with looking at some ways that we can be overcomers. I did feel like it was very appropriate the Sunday after I preached this message, and Brother Paul had no idea what I preached that Sunday. He preached on Overcoming Our Giants, something like that was his title, and I was not here, but I was listening in to most of it anyway, and I felt that was a very good message to back up to what I had said. I do plan to get into some of that this morning, but in a different way. I am so thankful to be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, the overcoming power of Satan. I'm so happy and excited to share with you that Jesus is the victor, and we don't have to fear the enemy, even though it is true that Satan is out for each one of us, and we dare not let our guards down against that. In 1 John chapter 3, and this is under the heading, Jesus came to destroy the power of Satan. 1 John 3:8 says, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's one of the reasons Jesus came, is to destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. So through the death of Jesus Christ, he destroyed him that hath the power of the death, that is the devil. And he delivers us who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. So Jesus came to destroy him that has the power of death and to deliver those who all their lifetime are subject to bondage. In Matthew chapter 28, 18, we have a verse that says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth. Here's a verse that I think was read this morning. If not, it was right close to the passage. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So in contrast to the devil out to kill and destroy us, Jesus came that we may have life, but not just life. He said even more abundantly. Does that thrill your heart this morning? It does mine. He wants us to have abundant life, not just life. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 10 through 15. Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. And ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And we see that he spoiled the principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. We could look at some of the rest of this passage that I just read in light of a point later on. I don't believe I will, but anyway, we're looking at Jesus came to destroy the power of Satan. We're looking at the power of Jesus Christ over the devil right now, and just thrills my heart. Now, this is the Word of God, like we heard about it. Brother Dan said, look and see if it's in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. In Acts chapter 28, 15 through 8, Paul is talking about what God's told him. And it says, And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Did you catch that? What says that Jesus sent Paul to preach and to teach? It says, unto delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the things of Satan, from the darkness of the Satan to light, the light of Jesus Christ, and from the power of Satan unto God. Paul was told by Jesus, I'm sending you to teach the Gentiles, to show them, to turn them from the power of Satan unto the power of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 17 to 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We see here, once again, that God gave our Lord Jesus Christ all authority and power above all principalities and all principalities and powers and might and dominions, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church. What amazing verses this morning, once again, to consider the power and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ over the devil. In 1 Peter chapter 3, I wrote down the reference a little bit wrong, but in 1 Peter chapter 3 it says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience to God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, is now on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. You see that the angels and authorities and powers are made subject unto Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God this morning. In Matthew 17, 18, it says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Mark 5, 15 says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. There's a few examples of what Jesus did on this earth. On the earth while he was here, that showed that he had power over Satan and the bondage that Satan had placed some people under. In Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 27. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 27. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, and saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And that same power is ours today through Jesus Christ. Jesus has that same power to free each one of us from the devil and the grip of the devil. The devil still has to obey Jesus when Jesus says, Go. Praise God. In Mark chapter 7, verses 25 through 30. See another example of when Jesus delivers somebody from the unclean spirit, from the devil. Mark 7, 25 through 30. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Once again, glorious freedom through Jesus Christ. Point number two, I want to read a few verses about Satan will be defeated in the end. I'm going to talk about the ultimate destruction of Satan and what's going to happen to Satan in the end of time. First thing we see is in Genesis chapter 3, 14 through 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and upon every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I want to focus on it shall bruise thy head. If a head is bruised, the thing dies. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 9, And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. We see that the workers of darkness will be destroyed at Christ's coming, when the Lord shall come. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I want to read verses 1 through 3, and then 7 through 10 out of Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, 1 through 3, and then 7 through 10. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain is in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And jumping down to verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up out on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The ultimate destruction of the devil, our enemy who is out to destroy you and I, the ultimate destruction is coming one day when Jesus Christ will cast him into the lake of fire and brimstone, where he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. I am glad I'm on the winning side. Are you glad you're on the winning side this morning? Is Jesus your king this morning? Are you serving him? If Jesus is your king and you're serving him, you're on the winning side. The battle will be won. The battle, we know the victor in Jesus Christ. I want you to look next on we are promised victory through Jesus. Notice, I didn't say we are promised victory, but we are promised victory through Jesus Christ. If we are serving our flesh this morning, if we are going astray from God, we will not have the victory. The devil will destroy us. But if we are serving Jesus Christ and have him as the Lord of our life, and we are surrendered to him, we are promised victory through Jesus Christ. We are the children of God, and if children and heirs together with Christ. And the same power that rose Jesus up from the dead is in us and is ours to avail ourselves of if we are following Jesus and obeying his commandments. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20 says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto you, us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." We see that Jesus gave his disciples authority over the enemy. Romans 16, verse 20 says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." A promise of the defeating of Satan in our life, that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. He'll be defeated. 2 Peter 1:2-4. 2 Peter 1:2-4. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." He has given us all things that we need to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do we believe that this morning? Are you availing yourself of the power of God this morning over our enemy who is out to destroy us? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to look at verses 27 to 39. And remember, the point that I'm on right now is we are promised victory through Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verses 27 to 39. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a privilege is ours this morning. We read about Jesus and that he has all power and authority over the devil. Did you catch what just happened here in these verses? Our Jesus is up in heaven making intercession for you and I this morning. Don't you think he wants us to have victory? Don't you think the victory is ours? He's up in heaven making intercession for you and I this morning. What a privilege that it is. It says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, so not Satan himself, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The promise is ours. The promise is ours this morning. We are promised victory through Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are promised that we'll be kept by the power of God, but it's through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. But this is because blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten unto us a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what gives us hope this morning, hope of eternal life, hope of victory over the devil and his tactics.
In Colossians chapter 1, turn with me there, please. Colossians chapter 1, I want to read several verses. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 17. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him are all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I struggled a little bit to which part of my message to put that scripture in, because the beginning part has a lot to do with what I'm planning to go into next. And that's our part of the picture and ways for us to have victory over Satan. There's a lot of being things or things that we are to do here in this passage. Maybe I just touch on that in just a moment here, but I want to focus in giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah this morning. Hallelujah. That God has delivered us from the power of darkness, from the power of Satan, from the wiles of the enemy. Do we believe that this morning, that through Jesus Christ, God has given us the power to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord? But it does cause us to, there is a call for action on our behalf. We will not have the victory if we just go sit as it were in a lazy chair with our arms down fast asleep. If we are sitting in a lazy chair fast asleep this morning, spiritually speaking, we will be sucked into the plan of Satan. We will fall to the arrows of Satan. We will be destroyed. And if we don't wake up and repent, we'll spend eternity in hell with the devil. But that's not God's plan for us this morning. God has gotten the victory over Satan. We saw earlier that Satan's going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. But God calls us each one to action this morning. Number one, under ways for us to have victory over Satan. Number one is we need to recognize that we are in a war. And I talked very much about that last time. I'll just read three verses once again this morning. But the first thing we need to do is we need to recognize that we are in a war. It's not time to sit back and do nothing and play games. We are in a war. There's spiritual war to fight. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Are we ignorant of Satan's devices? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 12 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It says we wrestle against these things. Are we wrestling against these things this morning? And the last verse that very clearly brings out that we are on a war, it says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, ponder the path. Be sober, be vigilant. It doesn't say just nonchalantly sit around and just meander through this life. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we saw that very clearly in my last message I preached, where we are, you and I, on the crosshairs of Satan. So number one way for us to have victory over Satan is we need to recognize that we are in a war, that Satan is out to destroy us. Number two is a call to action. It says, resist the devil. Resist the devil. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yes, I'm looking at resisting the devil. We are called to resist the devil. We're not just called to sit around and do nothing. If we sit around doing nothing, the devil will have advantage over us. But we are called to resist the devil. But there's something else interesting in this verse that it says before that. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. If we are living for our own self, if we are living, doing the things that I want to do, and not submitting ourselves to God, we will have no power over the devil. We must submit ourselves unto God and to the teaching of Jesus Christ and to the Word of God and to the direction of the Holy Spirit if we are to have power over the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9. I already read verse 1 Peter 5, 8, but I want to bring some other stuff in here. Last time when I just read it, I was talking about showing that the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. I did bring out already some of this. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Resist steadfast in the faith. It's a call to resisting the enemy. And steadfast in your faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's how we get power over our enemy. Resist the enemy. Number three. Under ways for us to have victory over, I want you to turn with armor verbs as I read these here. And I will emphasize these as we go through this passage. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 says, put on the whole armor of God. Right away we say we're supposed to do something. We do put the armor on. The armor does no good if it's over there in the corner. My brothers and sisters, none whatsoever. It says, put on the whole armor of God, not just a piece of it, but the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the purpose of us putting on the armor of God is to give us the power to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It says, we wrestle. We wrestle. Are we wrestling this morning against the wiles of the devil? Are we wrestling against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness? Are we wrestling this morning, or are we just taking life as it comes and chilling out? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Once again, it says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. To withstand, to stand firm in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to do what? To quench all the fiery darts. Those darts that Satan is throwing at you and I. Take the shield of faith, that you may quench all, not some of them, but all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, praying always and watching. Are we watching this morning with all perseverance? That doesn't mean just I'm watching around. No. Perseverance in our watching. And watching for supplication for all saints. Point number 4 under the title, ways for us to have victory over Satan. I kind of been bringing this out already, but take purposeful action. Take purposeful action. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. What does it mean to give place to the devil? I think we all know what it means to give place to the devil. It means to give him space. It means to give in to his desires for us. It means to give in to his temptations that he's tempting us with. It says, neither give place to the devil. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, flee also youthful lust. Flee away from them. Don't just sit around and dawdle with them. You'll be caught. Flee, also youthful lust. But follow righteousness. Now, this is interesting. It says, flee also youthful lust. But as you flee the youthful lust, you do follow these other things. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It seems to me that righteousness, faith, charity, and peace are things that are opposite of youthful lust. Because if we should flee the one and follow the other, it seems that they're opposite. They should go in the opposite direction. Says, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Are we keeping our heart pure? Are we keeping our heart pure? I thought of an illustration. And I know a lot of you would say Mountain Dew is not good for you, and I agree with you. It's not good for you. But some of us like Mountain Dew. Some of us like Mountain Dew or any kind of soda. Something that you like. Let's even say pure milk that is good for you. Let's say you have a glass of pure milk up here, and you're drinking this pure milk. And someone comes along and adds a little bit of something that, it wouldn't hurt you, let's just put in a bunch of salt water. You still want to drink that milk? Well, that salt water, that's not going to hurt you or harm you, but it's going to make that not good, right? What happens if they come along and they put just a pinch of arsenic poison into that milk? Just a pinch. Surely, just a pinch of arsenic poison won't kill you or hurt you. Too bad, right? Not too bad. But boy, that milk is sure good. Oh, it's so good. We would never do that, would we? We would never drink that milk that's so good if we knew it had arsenic poison in it. But what about the lust of the flesh that we do follow after and fall for, my brothers and sisters? Satan tricks us into believing these things would feel so good. Oh, it's not that bad. Or you won't fall this time. And he puts that poison in there. And it's poison to kill you and I. Flee also youthful lust and follow after righteousness. 1 John 5:18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. I plead with you, my brothers and sisters, are you keeping yourself this morning? Through Jesus Christ and the power that Jesus has over Satan and has given to you and I, are you keeping yourself pure before God? Or are we allowing Satan to destroy us by giving in to the lust of the flesh? 1 John 5:21 says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. There's a place that we have in this warfare, my brothers and sisters. There's a place that God has called us to. He hasn't just said, here you go, have it and be easy. Take your ease and go to heaven. He has given us responsibility. He has given us, like we saw, the power over Satan and over the lust of the flesh. We don't have to fall, but he's given us a responsibility to keep ourselves from these things, to keep ourselves from idols. Anything that is against God, anything that takes us away from God is an idol. Are we keeping ourselves from idols? I want you to turn with me to two short verses in Revelation chapter 12. I saw something new when I read these verses recently in preparation for this message. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to look at verses 10 and 11. Revelation 12, 10 through 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. I want to hone in on this next verse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We can overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, we can. And by the word of their testimony, they share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we share the power of Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives, it gives us even more strength to keep on fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold of eternal life. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. And the next phrase is what caught my attention. We usually think of this phrase as these people who were martyred for the gospel of Jesus Christ, who gave their lives and they willingly died. And I do believe it is talking about that. It says, and they loved not their lives unto death. My question this morning to us is, we say that we would physically die for Christ, for our love for Him. But are we dying to the lust of the flesh? Are we dying to the lust of the flesh and loving not ourselves to death so that Jesus Christ's power can be raised up in us? Are we overcoming by the blood of the Lamb? Do we love our lives and therefore fall to the temptations and the snare of the devil? Or do we see the need to hate the lust of the flesh, knowing that the lust of the flesh will bring us to destruction, when the victory is ours in Jesus Christ? It was just a challenge to my own heart when I pondered that aspect of loving not our lives unto death. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So just like Christ suffered for us in the flesh, and he died a physical death, says we to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Have we ceased from sin? Are we living the rest of our time, our lives, not to the flesh and lust of men, but to the will of God? Point number 5. Under ways for us to have victory over Satan, it's one short verse. Actually, it's two verses. I thought it was very, very interesting how these two verses are one right after the other, and I want to draw a point. I'll read the verse and tell you what my point is. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 to 11 says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That phrase, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices, I believe it could be talking about many different things, but it is the end of the previous sentence. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. So the point number 5 is forgive others. If we do have victory in Jesus Christ, one way to have victory is to by forgiving others. The Bible is very clear, other places, if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And if you don't forgive, if God doesn't forgive you your trespasses, you will go to hell with the devil. God calls us to forgive others. In closing this morning, I would like to leave you with a few verses. 1 John chapter 4, 4 says, you are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, it says, 17, 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And Revelation 19:16 says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Satan will be cast into hell forever. Hallelujah.